This second deep dive of December 2022 is from Gardner and colleagues. Effect of a ketogenic diet versus Mediterranean diet on glycated hemoglobin in individuals with prediabetes and type 2 diabetes mellitus. The interventional ketomed randomized crossover trial, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 2022. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. The place of low-carbohydrate diets in the management of type 2 diabetes has been clouded by the excessive claims from low-carb proponents regarding the efficacy of these diets for type 2 diabetes. This is unfortunate for a more rational assessment of the evidence, because the evidence does indicate a degree of utility for glycemic control. Low-carbohydrate diets lead to reductions in hemoglobin A1c, a marker of longer-term, 2 to 3 months, blood glucose regulation, which are linear to the degree of carbohydrate restriction, i.e., greater carbohydrate restriction results in greater reductions in blood glucose levels. However, these effects of low-carb diets appear to be short-term and observed primarily over 6 to 12 months. Over 12 to 24 months, the effects of low-carb diets on HbA1c wash out such that there are no significant differences between higher or lower carbohydrate diets on glycemic control. Low-carb diets aside, do you even nutrition science without the Mediterranean diet? In a meta-analysis of studies comparing Mediterranean diets to control diets in individuals with type 2 diabetes, the Mediterranean diet showed greater reductions in HbA1c and fasting blood glucose. However, in a similar story to the low-carb diets, there is evidence that effects of a med diet may also wash out over 1 to 2 years. One factor that emerges in this literature is a question over the optimal level of carbohydrates, and often the research diets labeled, quote, low-carb, have an average of 30 to 35% energy, while low-carb advocates state that less than 26% of energy is a truer definition of low-carb. Indeed, the most recent meta-analysis distinguished diets with between 26 to 45% carbohydrates and those with less than 26% energy, or 130 grams total carbohydrate per day. Low-carb diets with less than 26% of energy did lead to greater reductions in HbA1c over 6 months, but not over 12 months. Christopher Gardner's research group at Stanford University have conducted several intervention trials comparing low-carb and low-fat diets, and a characteristic of the diets in their research is optimizing basic nutrition best practices in both diets, emphasis on non-starchy vegetables, and avoidance of refined grains and added sugars. What happens when you optimize a ketogenic diet and overlap with a Mediterranean diet for type 2 diabetes? The, quote, KetoMed study tested this question. The study. The study was a randomized crossover trial comparing two diets, a well-formulated ketogenic diet and a Mediterranean plus diet. To be included, participants were required to be classified as having prediabetes, a HbA1c of between 5.7 to 6.4%, or a fasting blood glucose of 100 to 125 milligrams per deciliter, or type 2 diabetes, a HbA1c of over 6.5%, or fasting blood glucose of over 126 milligrams per deciliter. For further detail on this, see the geek box below. Both diets had three characteristics in common: maximize non-starchy vegetable intakes and avoidance of refined grains and added sugars. The well-formulated ketogenic diet contained 20 to 50 grams of carbohydrates, a 1.5 gram per kilogram body weight protein target, and remainder energy from fats. The diet emphasized unprocessed animal meats, cheeses, and oils, for example, coconut oil or nut oils. Legumes, whole grains, and fruits were avoided. The Mediterranean Plus diet followed the Mediterranean diet pyramid and was primarily a plant-based diet, with fish as the main protein source and olive oil as the primary fat source. The diet emphasized legumes, whole grains, and fruits, while meats, poultry, and dairy were minimized. As a crossover design, participants were randomized to the order of diet, i.e., Mediterranean plus diet to well-formulated ketogenic diet, or well-formulated ketogenic diet to Mediterranean plus diet. Diets were followed for 12 weeks before participants crossed over immediately to the alternate diet. There was no washout period between interventions. There was a 12-week follow-up period after the end of the 24-week intervention. All meals were prepared and delivered to participants for the first 4 weeks of each diet, after which the participants prepared their own food. Energy restriction and weight loss were not prescribed. The primary outcome was change in HbA1c over 12 weeks between the diets. Secondary outcomes included changes in fasting glucose and insulin, blood lipids, and weight. Geekbox. Diabetes definitions. There are several markers used in the assessment of blood glucose regulation. The following table sets out various blood glucose ranges used in the UK. Note that these ranges may differ slightly in other countries. The table has the ranges for each stage of glucose tolerance, for both fasting glucose levels and the 2-hour postprandial glucose response to an oral glucose tolerance test. Type 2 diabetes is diagnosed with a fasting plasma glucose of over 126 milligrams per deciliter or 7 millimole per liter. A status of type 2 diabetes is also indicated by a 2-hour plasma glucose response to an oral glucose tolerance test that exceeds 11.1 millimole per liter or 200 milligrams per deciliter. There is also glycated hemoglobin A1c or HbA1c, a marker for when red blood cells are exposed to glucose levels in plasma. HbA1c reflects longer-term blood glucose regulation over the period of the previous 3 months and is expressed as a percentage. Currently, 6.5% is considered the threshold for a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, and the range of 6 to 6.4% is considered high risk according to World Health Organization guidelines. It is helpful to have an idea of the various levels of glucose tolerance, given the continuum of glucose tolerance. Although attention needs to be put on the diagnosis of the disease itself, in this case type 2 diabetes, in reality the underlying pathophysiology precedes diagnosis by years. This explains the need for early intervention in the natural history of the disease. Results. 33 participants completed the trial with an average age of 60 years. 61% of participants had pre-diabetes and 39% had type 2 diabetes. 61% were male, of which 45% were non-Hispanic white ethnicity, and 85% were university graduates in educational attainment. Dietary adherence, more under interesting finding below, was higher for both diets during the food delivery phase compared to the self-preparation phase of each diet. Energy intake during both diet phases was an average of 250 to 300 calories lower compared to baseline. Primary outcome, HbA1c. There was no significant difference between diets. Both diets improved glycemic control, with the well-formulated ketogenic diet lowering HbA1c by 9% and a range of 7 to 11%, and the Mediterranean Plus diet by 7% and a range of 5 to 9%. Secondary outcomes. Body weight decreased significantly in both groups, with an effective diet order noted. Participants randomized to begin with the well-formulated ketogenic diet lost more weight in that diet phase compared to those who began with the Mediterranean Plus diet. At the end of the first diet phase, participants who began with the well-formulated ketogenic diet lost an average of 7.5 kilos compared to 5.1 kilos on the Mediterranean Plus diet. The well-formulated ketogenic diet led to significant increases in LDL cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, and decrease in triglycerides. Sensitivity analysis, the effects of weight loss on HbA1c. There was no significant differences observed between diets when baseline body weight and weight loss were analyzed in relation to changes in HbA1c. In effect, weight loss explained the improvement in HbA1c, not the type of diet. The critical breakdown. Pros. The trial was pre-registered at clinicaltrials.gov, and there are no apparent deviations from the pre-registered protocol. Randomization method was appropriate, computer generated by a statistician not involved in the study, and stratified according to pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes status in order to ensure that both groups were balanced for glycemic status. The crossover design allowed for each participant to act as their own control, minimizing inter-individual variation between diets influencing the outcomes. At time points throughout the study, weeks 0, 4, 12, 16, 24, and 36, diet was assessed by three unannounced 24-hour recalls, 2 weekdays and 1 weekend, administered by a trained nutritionist, and the average of all 24-hour recalls used to determine adherence to the diets. The statistical analysis was thorough and included a sensitivity analysis to determine the influence of weight loss on HbA1c. Cons. The curse of nutrition interventions. This was ultimately a very small sample size, which limits the wider generalizability of the findings. There was no washout period between diets, and although no interaction effects were noted for most findings, the order of diet did influence certain outcomes, for example, weight loss and HbA1c improvements slightly greater when participants started with the well-formulated ketogenic diet. The trial was disrupted by COVID-19, which affected the timing of blood sampling from participants, the duration certain participants remained on their diets, and the delivery of food to some participants. The investigators did the best they could in the circumstances and still managed to gather a usable data set, i.e. the primary analysis was confined only to complete data. However, it may have influenced some outcomes if total duration of dietary adherence differed. Key characteristic. The analysis of this trial has been illuminating for perhaps the most deterministic factor influencing outcomes on any diet, irrespective of macronutrient content and food selections: adherence. This research group previously published data on adherence from the KetoMed trial, which indicated that adherence was highest for both diets when food was delivered to participants and declined steadily over the self-provision period and into the follow-up period. During the food delivery phase, adherence, on a 1 to 10 scale with 10 being the highest, was 7.6 and 7.3 on the well-formulated ketogenic diet and Mediterranean Plus diet, respectively. During the self-provision phase, adherence scores were also similar, at 5.7 and 5.4 for the well-formulated ketogenic diet and Mediterranean Plus diets, respectively. However, during the follow-up period, this dropped to 2.3 and 4.3 for the well-formulated ketogenic diet and Mediterranean Plus diet, respectively, indicating that when back to their usual habitual diets, the dietary pattern more resembled the Mediterranean dietary pattern than the well-formulated ketogenic diet. And this is crucial because, ultimately, independent of macronutrient content, adherence is the best predictor of outcomes with dietary interventions. Interesting finding. The lack of effect of diet type rather than weight loss is interesting insofar as it adds to a body of evidence indicating no particularly unique effect of diet independent of weight loss. It also adds to the body of evidence that shows that low-carb diets may provide a head start in the short term, but typically the advantage in weight loss and glycemic control wash out in the long term. In this study, participants lost more weight when starting on the well-formulated ketogenic diet. When starting with the Mediterranean Plus diet, participants lost more weight after transitioning to the well-formulated ketogenic diet. Overall, these differences were small and did not correspond to meaningful differences in HbA1c. This latter point is important. The magnitude of change in HbA1c was greater when starting with the well-formulated ketogenic diet, a decrease of 0.64% versus 0.32% compared to the Mediterranean Plus diet. But this largely washed out by the end of both phases, such that the average reduction in HbA1c was similar between diets. All in all, the data tells us nothing beyond what we already knew, that improvements in HbA1c will be proportional to the magnitude of weight loss, and the type of diet is secondary. Importantly, the level of carbohydrate restriction may only be relevant in the short term, and benefits to glycemic control tend to fall away over 6 to 12 months. Relevance. Christopher Gardner's research group have produced some excellent nutrition intervention trials, most notably the Diet Fits intervention, which found no significant differences between healthy dietary patterns, either low in fat or carbohydrate, on weight loss or metabolic outcomes. And while the thoughtful design and ambition of the present intervention is commendable, ultimately the Keto Med trial provides little additional insights into the role of diet in the management of type 2 diabetes. The primary addition of this study is the matching of some key characteristics between diets, emphasizing non-starchy vegetables, minimizing added sugars, and refined grains. Nevertheless, the well-formulated ketogenic diet still omitted food groups like legumes and whole grains and led to significant increases in LDL cholesterol. Thus, for the modest improvements in HbA1c, it may not be worth the trade-off of increased cardiovascular risk factors. This is not necessarily validation by default of the Med diet, which yielded similar outcomes overall, but with the bonus of a modest reduction in LDL cholesterol. Let's consider the absolute changes in HbA1c from both diets, which decreased from 6.28% to 5.72% when starting with the well-formulated ketogenic diet and transitioning to the Mediterranean Plus diet order, and 6.12% to 5.71% on the Mediterranean Plus diet transitioning to the well-formulated ketogenic diet order. In effect, participants started out in a high-risk HbA1c range and ended up at the lower end of the risk range. This is unlikely to have any meaningful impact on progressive deterioration of disease severity over the long term. Application to practice. At this point, it is difficult to argue in favor of any particularly unique effect of low-carb diets for type 2 diabetes management beyond the potential for more immediate weight loss and related glycemic control over 3 to 6 months, benefits that we would not expect to see after 1 year. For the Mediterranean diet, we could say the same thing, modest improvements in HbA1c in the short term. Ultimately, this evidence comes back to the reality that the primary driver of prevention of progression from impaired glucose tolerance or pre-diabetes to type 2 diabetes was weight loss, achieved through dietary and physical activity targets. The challenge for meaningful reductions in type 2 diabetes risk and management are the degree of weight loss required and the need to maintain that weight loss in the context of continued declining beta cell function. From the perspective of type 2 diabetes management, at least the Keto Med trial provides further evidence that the composition of the diet is a secondary consideration to weight loss.